Be seated if you would, grab your Bibles. You'll just kind of mess with my equalizer there a little bit. Today, I don't know if it's going to turn into a series, and I don't know what God's going to do through it. I just know where I have been lately in my own life, okay? And so, kind of shared a little bit last week about my mental state, different things that we're battling, and talking about what's going on in our minds, and I cannot escape it this week. I don't know about you, but do you realize that your mind is in a constant war?
So,
how many of you today, by your best look, guys, and let's not look, okay? How many of you today have something on your mind that is heavy? Something in your life, an area of your life that is difficult? Would you slip your hand up? Right? So you're trying to figure out. Maybe it might be your own personal things, or how many of you carry the heaviness of someone else and what they're going through and what they're facing and what they're battling? Would you slip your hand up? Monday night, you can open your eyes, I went to my class and was talking about mental health. You know, just those two words alone a lot of times make us close our ears and shut off our minds. We live in a world that doesn't like to talk about mental health. It doesn't like to bring those things out. But matter of fact, can we write this down and can we understand it? Everybody in the world has a mental health issue. Everybody that lives, guys, let's go. Let's get it on. All right? Everybody that lives has a mental health issue. And you know what it is? Sin. We all battle it. We all get tempted by it. We all are targeted by our enemy. He is designed and is attacked to kill, steal, and destroy our happiness and our joy. And if we're going to be real, and if we're going to be honest today, we have got to get to this mindset that none of us are absent a mental struggle. None of us are absent an attack on our confidence, an attack on our spirituality, an attack on our very soul. And so today, as we speak, I want you to be open, because whether or not you're going through it or somebody you know is going through it, we all need these truths. I think it's important that you understand. We developed a team. And the way we developed this team is through people that came and said, I recognize that there is an issue. And the team is developing an entire life group for the overthinkers. Now, when I ask you, how many of you are overthinkers, would you slip your hand up in the air? How many of you, your mind is constantly going? All right, look around, okay? That's the majority. Whether it be on good things or bad things, you're always thinking. Can I say this? Let me give you some relief. For those of you that think you're broken, and those of you that think you're crazy because your mind never stops thinking, please write this one down. That is the way God intended it to be. Your mind was not created to ever be void and absent of thought. Your mind is a powerful tool. It is a weapon. It is a builder. It is a refuge. It is an encourager, but it can also be an enemy. And in your mind, understand this, and I want you to write it down. God, if you and I say that overthinking is defined by the fact that we cannot turn our minds off, then let's thank God today that He is an overthinker and He never stops thinking about you and me. His mind is constantly thinking and working towards our needs and working on our behalf and interceding for us when things are going bad. Tonight, you and I, today, in this mindset we have been given a mind by God that was intended to be used. The problem is we have oftentimes messed up the programming. Oftentimes, we've allowed things in, and let's compare it to computer viruses, things that corrupt this beauty of a mind that God has given us. Do you realize that the Bible is written a lot about your mind? Matter of fact, let's just debunk it. When the Bible uses the word heart, it's talking about your mind. All right, I tell people all the time, one of the first verses we're going to go to, I went to it with youth, I went to it with our Monday night class, it is Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, where the Bible tells us to guard your what? Heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You know, now while the Bible does promote physical health, and while the Bible does say don't bring harm to your body, this verse is not talking about watching calories or cholesterol. This verse is watching your mind. And when the Bible says you need Jesus in your heart, what He's saying and what the Bible means is you need to give Jesus control of your mind. When you accepted Christ into your life, you gave Him control over the way you think, the way you talk, and the way you do. Him as your Savior did not come into the thing that pumps blood through your body. It's to invite Him into the thing that dictates the direction of your life. And today, are determined by our minds. And so this verse, properly interpreted, says, guard your mind. Guard your mind above everything else. In other words, guard what you let in, guard what you think about, guard what you act on. We've said it so many times, my thoughts produce my feelings produce my actions. Thoughts bad, actions bad, feelings good, actions good. Let's go a step further. Thoughts godly, feelings are godly. Actions are godly. But thoughts uncontrolled is a life uncontrolled. Feelings uncontrolled. Have you noticed that we in our society have made a mistake in Christianity to where we have based God on our feelings? And part of it is because when we see the word heart, we subliminally think that God is talking about our feelings. But let me be honest with you. Your feelings are not developed from actual facts. They're developed from thought. And you can feel afraid when there's nothing to feel afraid of. You can be anxious when there's no reason to be anxious. You can be mad when there's no reason to be mad. But you can also be happy without cause. You can also have peace without cause. The reality is your mind is what controls your feelings. But we live in a society that lets our feelings control our mind. And then we wonder why we feel crazy and why we feel like we're out of control. And it's because we're giving control of our minds to something. And therefore, in our world, we would call that being under the influence and intoxicated. And your feelings are corrupting. And some of us say, I don't feel like loving. I don't feel like forgiving. And the reality is, it's not based on a feeling. It's based on what you know you're supposed to do. And you say, well, I just can't. That's why you need Jesus. And that's why we got to give him control. And it's not that it comes in and he makes us sane. He comes in and he gives us peace in the midst of insanity. You know, there's two stories in the Bible of Jesus having to do with the storm in a boat. And I've hit on this before. One of them, Jesus is in the boat asleep. One of them, he's walking on the water. Two different accounts where Jesus is in the storm. And what I have found is this. The disciples, when they had Jesus in the boat, were still in the storm. And the disciples, when they didn't have Jesus in the boat, were still in the storm. The difference is this. When they allowed Jesus to take control of the boat, in both circumstances, the storm was able to cease. Not because of their abilities, but because they let Jesus take control over what they did. When they finally woke him up, he said what? Peace be still. And the Bible says when Peter and Jesus got done walking on the water and Jesus got into the boat with Peter, the storm ceased. And I'm going to tell you this now. You can be living a godly life, seeking God in everything you do, have Jesus in the forefront of your life, and still find yourself in chaos, not knowing what to do. You can also be on the opposite end, where you're going on your own, and you're out on your own sea, you're out trying to figure it out on your own way, and in those moments, you realize that you still need Jesus. And I'm just going to say this. Today, I think, and Louis Giglio did a sermon on I'm Not Okay, But He Is. I would encourage everyone to go listen to it. I think I'm on time 7 now, and just, you know, listening and soaking in God's truth. But in there, he said, in our society, in our churches, we sing these powerful songs. All of our songs are about victory. All of our songs are turning towards Jesus. And then we get to our sermon, and we preach these sermons that we think are powerful on issues. Then we give an invitation, and we think that everybody should be fixed. I mean, we gave the sermon, we gave the songs. Why are you still hurting? And so we have a get-over-it message. And as I heard him say that, I just kept hearing Jesus say, it's not get over it, it's get Jesus in it. You know, hey, wherever you're at, whatever you're going on, it's get Jesus in there. I told our youth this. You get Jesus in your sin and the tempter will leave. Get Jesus involved in the weakness of your life. Get Jesus involved in the area where you're broken, you're hurting, you're struggling, and the tempter will leave. Get Jesus into your problem. And let's get past this. He does not take the problem away. He just pulls you through the problem that's there. See, we preach that all you need is Jesus. Can I tell you this? Jesus came, how many of you have heard this? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He didn't come and immediately cure our sin problem. He just knew that in the midst of sin, we still needed hope. In the midst of sin, we still needed a Savior. In the midst of sin, we would need forgiveness. And on our darkest day, we would still need a light. And so in the middle of your problem, to war, and you are going to have to trust that be of good cheer. Hey, I've overcame this already. I've done this. I've conquered this. And because I have been tempted. You see, Jesus was tempted in every way. And Louis said that, you know, he stood on the pinnacle of the temple with the thought of suicide being thrown at him. Where Satan looked at him and said, jump. He will give his angels charge over you so that you won't even dash your foot against the stone. To which a question was posed, how did Satan know the angels would show up? What if they didn't? Because Jesus would have stepped outside of God's will. He would have took his own life, into which it opened a conversation between Pastor David and myself this week where I said, you know, what gets me about that, what I've never seen, is the Bible says he was being tempted, and therefore understand this, that he climbed to the top of that temple under temptation. It wasn't this moment where Jesus is just all of a sudden here. He allowed himself to get to the place where that step was available. Temptation will lead you to the cliff. It will lead you to the edge. But Jesus had the power within him through God's word to resist the temptation of the next step. He was tempted to turn but the stone into bread because he was starving. He was tempted to bow down because he was alone. Listen, every avenue that we have been attacked in, Jesus himself was attacked in, which means Jesus had to be sexually tempted. Jesus had to be emotionally tempted. Jesus was physically tempted. He was tempted spiritually in all areas. And Satan says, hey, if you would just bow down to me, and Jesus had just been 40 days in total isolation and alone, vulnerable to that attack. And yet, he was able to overcome. And you say, well, why do you tell me all this? Because you're not crazy. You're not messed up today because you have the thought of, I can't do this anymore. You're not messed up today because you've had the thought of doubt come into your mind. You're not messed up because you're an overthinker. But don't let your overthinking mess you up. And lately I have. All right, if I'm just going to be real, my overthinking mind has been my kryptonite. I'm not saying I'm Superman because I feel like anything but the opposite. But in the analogy of it, my mind has been my own worst enemy lately. Is there any me too in the audience? So let's get solution. Let's stop focusing on what's bad. And let's stop focusing on what's broken. And let's start focusing on what the answer is. Let's grab hope and let's put it in our heart. Again, our hearts meaning our mind. And let's allow God to build us and allow God to strengthen us. And so there's three things as we begin this overthinking war of the mind. Hey, let's start with this. Your mind has to be, according to this verse, guarded, protected. In other words, I have got to make sure that I am aware at all times that what is going on around me will definitely take root in me if not careful. Matter of fact, can I say this? Your mind is constantly being targeted. Here's two reasons why. For control and to influence. The enemy wants to control your mind. He wants to influence your mind. And then once he's controlled your mind and influenced your mind, convince you that you cannot be lovable, and you cannot be accepted, and you could not be forgiven, and you cannot be saved, and you cannot be used by God. He wants to come in and warp your actions so that he can corrupt every reaction to follow, so that you and I feel totally broken, and you and I feel totally abandoned, and there at that moment find ourselves not just doubting who we are, but doubting the one who created us. And there's been a lot of whys in my life. Anybody else had that question? There's been a lot of how could I's in my life. There's been a lot of moments where the guilt became the club that the enemy used to beat me down, or the shame became the weapon that kept me closed. Or the bitterness became the virus that kept every relationship corrupted. So yesterday I was sitting at men's breakfast, and David, as soon as I walked in the door, he greeted me like this. Oh, didn't know you were coming. That explains why we're watching this. I'm like, wow, okay, that's great. In other words, he's saying, you need this. And you know what he was talking about? Father wounds. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And so we're sitting there, and at the end, he has us write down on the back of a card, and he says, write down if you've been a part of these things. And he lists 10 things. He says, you know, if you've been verbally abused, if you've been physically abused, write it down, verbally abused. And and then on the back right, my chains are gone. And as I sat there and he went through all of them, all 10 of them would have been on my car. Every single thing he said. And I was sitting there, and in that moment, I felt so broken. In that moment, there was revolution. There was a revelation that happened in my life to where God was simply saying, okay, look, listen. And then they flashed his words of their forgiveness is not based on a feeling. It's based on a principle of God. And so as we went through these things, and my mind just kept going, and I realized that as much as I think I'm tough, have you ever found the thing you talk about being strong in, most of the times you're trying to convince yourself you're strong because there's a weakness there, and that battle's going on, and I realized I'm not as tough as I think I am. I'm not as strong as I think I am, and that is why I need God to be the protector of my mind. It says this, if you would, look at 1 Peter 5:8. It's a word, a verse that we use all the time. In the King James and others, it says, be sober and be vigilant. But in the NLT, it says what? Stay alert. All right? Remember, we talked about it earlier. If you've got worry in your life today, you're under the influence. Anxiety in your life today, you're under the influence. You say, well, I don't use. Hey, it's not what you're using, it's what's using you. And when the enemy is attached to you, and he's attached to your mindset, me, and my mindset, the anxieties of life become overwhelming, and my mind becomes totally bogged down, and I can't do anything. And so here's what God says. Hey, you need to sober up and be vigilant. Why? There's an enemy going after your mind today. He's targeting somebody to devour. You know, I am this close to like shutting down my social media. I mean, I am ready just to let it go because of all the things that happen that are polluting my life and so many other lives around us. Can I tell you this? We are in information overload in our society. Yes, sir. Anybody else have that moment where you say, I just can't think anymore? Like, not one more thought. It's not, I can't do. It's like, I don't want to think anymore. You know what you just said? I'm surrendering control of my mind. I'm abandoning this battle. Because this battle has become overwhelming. And you say, well, I just need to sit and mellow. I have found that it doesn't stay well when you just try to. Because all of a sudden, even though you think you're not thinking, you start thinking anyway. Anybody wake up thinking, go to bed thinking, and sometimes you feel like even in your dreams, you're thinking when you slip your hand up? How many of you go to bed, sleep 8 hours, and wake up totally exhausted? You know, you go to the grocery store, and it feels like you just went to war. I mean, it's almost as if you went to 24-hour fitness or Gold's Gym and you worked out, you come out, and you're sweating, mainly because, Arkansas controls the weather in Walmart, you know? And you say, how do you know that? Because I've asked. And I'm like, it is so hot in here. And they're like, yes, and they're drenched in sweat. And they're like, Arkansas controls everything. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so it just, you know, you got all these things and you just, oh, you get to the car and you go home and it's like you just solved world issues. But all you did was pick up bread and milk because somebody said it smelled. And now you're scared to death about going to work and all these other things, and your mind starts spiraling. The overthinking mind has to be guarded. You know what? Here's the ammunition. Look at the psalm, if you would. Many of you have heard it before. We quote it. It's one of the first verses I remember memorizing. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I memorized it in King James. It says, thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you. You know what it's saying? Your word is a protector of my mind. Your word is the protector. It guards my mind. And I put it in there so that I don't give in to worry. And what does he say? In Philippians, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Tell God about everything. Praise. Thank God for all that he has done. It goes a step further. He says, hey, fix your thoughts on these things. And then it says, be content. He gives us 5 things that we must do if we're going to guard our minds. There's a little Bible study for you. Go to Philippians 4 and dive into it. We have got to get to a place in our life that we realize that the most dangerous mind, or the mind that's in the most dangerous, is the uncontrolled thinker's mind. The one that doesn't allow themselves to be captured by by who God is. Now, in there, I think I have to be completely honest. I am an oversharer and I hate it. All right? There are times in my life that I'm so corrupted in my mindset with bitterness and anger that picking up the Word of God almost makes me mad. Anybody else been there? Talking to God almost makes me angry. How many of you have been there? Let's be honest. Let me take the mask off. Alright, now I'm not asking if you're currently there, I'm asking if you've been there. And if you've not been there, there's a good chance that you never got out of God's Word. There's a good chance that you stayed in, even during those times, but I'm not as good as you. In the past couple weeks, in the past few weeks of my life, as this mental war, this mental health thing has been going on in my life, the Word of God has been on the back burner of my heart. And there I find myself on the phone with a brother that I love dearly, to which he asked, "What is your Sabbath?" And I had to answer, "I don't have one." He's like, "You gotta get it." What do you mean? The day that you shut down and only think of God. The day that it's all about Jesus. Not about work. Not about other things. You're enjoying His goodness. You're enjoying His will. It was powerful enough that God put it in the Ten Commandments. It was powerful enough that even Jesus observed it. It's powerful enough that God set an example of it when He created the world. And yet we have become so busy and so flooded by information in our society that we have no time or energy, emotionally or spiritually, to absorb the one thing we need that will protect us from the enemy, and that is the Word of God. And I'm going to just openly admit today, I need your prayers. You say, "Well, you're a pastor, you're supposed to be in God's Word." Hey, where in the Bible does it say only pastors should hide His Word in their hearts? But let's be real. If I am a pastor and I'm supposed to be working towards God 24/7, which you are too, and I struggle, then I know if most of you in here said you have mental struggles, you're struggling in that area too. And at some point, we've got to realize that the only weapon we have in this world is the Word of God. We fall on our swords, we die. Follow His swords, and we find. And so not only do we need to protect and guard our minds, look at Philippians 4, we talked about it in verse number 8, he says this, fix your thoughts, you've got to focus your mind. You know what, the overthinking mind needs to learn how to do two things. Number one, focus, and then refocus. Because I don't know, a lot of times the overthinking mind has a hard time accomplishing simple tasks. How many of you have a to-do list that you've had for a while? Will you slip your hand up? How many of you have multiple projects going on at the same time? How many of you start conversations, but they never get finished because you get distracted by a phone call or something else is going on? And then, how many of you get reminded of things you said that you never remember saying? Alright, and you're like, "I didn't say that." How many of you get told that you have an appointment that you've never agreed to? Alright, anybody? You're like, "I promise you said this." And you're like, "No, I didn't." You probably did. You probably did. Your mind is just going everywhere, though. You know what the Bible tells us? Fix it. Fix your mind. Focus your mind. Bring it in. You know, hey, listen. If the Bible says that we're going to transform into new creations by changing the way we think, if the Bible says His Word becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, but it has to be hidden in our heart. If the Bible says that if we meditate and study on God's Word, we'll grow. If the Bible says that we need the Bible to become the focus of our lives, then we got to understand that God says, "You've got to focus, and I've got to focus my thoughts on the things that are good, not the things that are evil." He gives a whole list here on the true, the honorable, the pure, the just, the right, the lovely, the admirable, the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He's saying, hey, it's not optional. If you're going to survive, if you're going to make it, you have to fix your mind, train your brain to be focused on what is right. I said at Thanksgiving a couple years ago, cried on the way home to my wife, because as they shared memories, which were true memories of my childhood, I had totally forgotten them until they brought them up. But I can remember every negative thing about my childhood. I can remember every bit of abuse, every bit of neglect. But there was good in it too. And yet my mind has decided to block out the memories of good, to only focus on the things that are bad. And you know what it does? It makes me bitter. It makes me angry. It makes me hateful. It makes me resentful. It makes me like the person I've
need to start trying to remember the good things of my childhood because they do exist. I need to find the things that I can praise God about for my childhood because it does exist. Hey, even in your worst days, something good was happening. Even in your hardest times, God's presence was known. And at some point in our lives, we've got to realize that our minds naturally gravitate to hold on to the drama and the junk. We need to train our minds to grab hold of what is good, grab hold of what is true, and stand on it, and not let the enemy take from us what God has done and accomplished in our lives. So, matter of fact, pause, turn and look at somebody and tell somebody something you are thankful for that God has done in your life. Go, turn around, let's do it. What has God done in your life that you are thankful for?
I'm thankful for restoration. What are you thankful for?
You know, is it amazing that those of you that actually did it, not everybody does, I get it, some people are shy. Don't worry, don't feel bad, don't start overthinking that. But understand this, the more that you did it, the more smiles popped onto people's faces.
Fair enough.
As soon as you started talking big, you started smiling. You know why? Because it's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. And the moment we start focusing on the goodness of God, hey, we stop focusing on the powerless enemy that is attacking and coming after our mind. If God has control of my mind and God has given the right to influence my mind, then the enemy has no ground to stand on. And when he shows up to accuse my mind, the blood of Jesus Christ meets him there. And he's reminded of the cross that defeated him and the tomb that sealed his doom. And when Jesus is the focus of my mind, it's a place the enemy doesn't want to. So I not only need to guard it, I need to focus it, and lastly, I need to nurture it. I need to feed it. And I think it's Rick Warren that says it's not what you eat, it's what's eating you. That's what's destroying your life. I need to nurture my mind. I need to bring it into healthy things. I like puzzles. Anybody else in here like puzzles?
Yes.
And I'm not talking about just the ones that you piece together. I like puzzle games. Mazes. Like, I'm still the guy that if you gave a book of mazes and a pencil to, I'm going to have a good time. You know, I'm going to try to find my way. Good thing now is you can do it on a smartphone so you don't have to erase, all right? my little overthinking would kick in when the eraser doesn't work, and now I'm not thinking of the maze anymore. I'm thinking about the smudge on my paper that the eraser won't fit. And the only reason you're laughing is you're the same way. And so in here, like, I love my mind to be challenged. So I said, until the test comes, or the trial comes, that I don't find enjoyable. Until the decision comes that God has called me to, that I don't want to surrender to. And when God shows up and says, okay, I want you to go this direction with your life, but I'm comfortable in this area of my life. I immediately, if I am not guarded, and protected, if I am not focused, filled with panic. Anybody else? Can I give you some verses real quick? Can you write these down? Look at Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes what? Can you say that again? Anxiety in the heart of man. What's the heart?
The mind.
Causes what? But a good word makes it glad. Isn't it amazing that anxiety, that word, captures in a total emotion? And yet the proverb, Solomon, as he writes, says this, but one word. One good word changes everything. Mm-hmm. Say, well, anxiety is typically caused by what's going on around, what's going on within, what's going on in the lives of people we care about, the pressures and the stresses that have been added to our lives. Anxiety can be caused by all kinds of different things, but then all of a sudden one good word shows up, and I love it. The Bible says, Jesus declared, He is the Word, He's the way, He's that Word that you need. How many of you just uttered the word Jesus and felt a peace rush into your mind? And in Philippians, He says, it gives you a peace that passes all understanding. Stop worrying, talk to God, start praising. Say, fix your mind and be content. And then your heart explodes with, okay, we got this. Now, how many today can say, you know what, I'm in something, but I know that God's in it with me. Can you slip your hand up? So if you're in it and God's in it, how can it fail? One way for you to take control. For me to be the one that's figuring it all out. How can I figure life out when I can't even figure me out? How can I figure you out when I can't even figure me out? How can I figure out what's going on around me when I can't even figure out what's going on within me? How can I figure out what I need to do when I can't even figure out what I'm supposed to do? How in the world can I be in control when I feel like the world is big and I am small? There's one way and one way only, and that is to trust in Jesus. And to build our lives there. So look at this, if you would, in closing, two verses. In 2 Corinthians, we find this, we talk about this verse in verse number 5 all the time. But the last sentence says, we capture, in other words, rebellious thoughts when the mind wanders. And what do we have to do? Say the word. Teach them. How many of you, as parents, are teaching your kids how to be in life? Can you just lift your hand up? You know, one of the things, we're in the season, look, if we're going to praise, let's praise God. Our son is doing the best he's done in his entire lifetime. You know, and there's still struggles and obstacles, and man, there's a lot of joy. We went to the circus yesterday and actually got to stay. We did things. He's starting to speak. He's got about 50 plus words in his vocabulary now. It's starting to get scary because I'm like, what has he heard me say that I don't know? Is it? You know, it's like, when it's coming out, it's going to come out in full flood, and it's going to be like the tide rolling in on the ocean. I mean, it's just, we see God all over him. But you know, the past 3 months have been incredible to watch him do that. And yet I found myself in a total mental funk for the past 3 months. Why? Because the one thing that I prayed for the past 5 years is happening right in front of me. But my mind is being nurtured. My mind is being consumed by the other things of life that are not as big of a deal as what God is doing in here.
Amen.
And a lot of times I can get distracted, and a lot of times I can get drawn away. So can you. And he's saying, train the brain. Train it. Capture and teach. So when something's done wrong, we bring our kids in. And if we're doing it right, we explain what was wrong. And then we explain how to get it right. We discipline and release. Aren't you glad that that's how God loves you and loves me? Who the Lord loves, he disciplines. And here's how he disciplines. He disciples. He brings in and says, you don't need to do this anymore. And then releases it and releases us so that we can go back, stand up, and do it again. And for you who have been losing the war of their mind, for you who have felt like you're crazy, for you who have had the thought of suicide and thought that that was a shameful, shameful thing, for you who are sitting broken, you who are in this mental war, no, you're just like every person that's ever lived. And God has created that beautiful mind as a weapon to use for his glory. And that is why it is being attacked. And that is why it's the target of the enemy. Because you and I have been made powerful through the resurrection of Christ. And we know the truth. And we know his power. And we've seen how good he is. And at some point, we've got to capture this junk. Amen. And teach it to celebrate his goodness. And then let me bring it to the last verse. For those of you that say we're supposed to shut our minds off, Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. In King James, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Here's what he's saying. Study this Bible continually. Study this book of instruction all the time. Look at this. Meditate on it. How often?
Yeah.
All right? When he says day and night, he's covering the in-between. You got it? It's from the beginning to the end. Forever his word is established in heaven. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Forever. It says then, so you will be sure to obey. There's a key. You can know everything there is to know about God, but if you don't put it in your obedience, you got nothing.
Amen.
I've got nothing. I mean, how many of you get the most frustrated with yourself when you know what you should have done and you didn't do it?
Anybody else ever giving themselves the pep talk that they're not going to get mad the next time they're in an argument and then they get mad anyway? Anybody ever decided that you were going to give God your temper only to find that you still got one? Anyone get convicted and make a decision for the Lord only to find that that decision gets challenged within minutes? And you find yourself still in the battle? You say, well, I didn't mean it. Yeah, you meant it. Yes, you did. The problem is when you got up, you left Jesus where you found him. Take him with you. You're still going to have to fight Goliath. I love how David approached it. Who's this Philistine, this pagan, think he is? I mean, who does he think he is that he can stand there and blaspheme our God? You know what? Next time that thought that you are worthless comes into your mind, who does this demon think he is that he can step in and blaspheme the truth of God when he says you can't? Who is this demon that thinks he can come against what God has established in his truth when your marriage is on the rocks, when your children are going astray, and you're starting to think to yourself that everything's falling apart? Who is that pagan that you're going to let come into your mind and take control? Because if you're not careful and you let it talk, you're going to find yourself getting in a trench. And the person willing to shut the demon up is going to take the head off the lion, hold it high so that others can see, hey, I'm an overthinker, but I started thinking about Jesus, and now I am a lion slayer in Jesus' name. We are knocking down these strongholds. We are taking back these thoughts. We're teaching people to obey Christ. And so suicide prevention. Matter of fact, for those of you that say suicide is not a big deal, do you know that it has become the number one killer of injury in our society, even surpassing wrecks and things like that? It's becoming number one. You know, especially among our teenagers. Teenagers have the highest growth rate of suicide of any other age group. And I'm going to tell you, like I told my Monday night class and my small group, listen, suicide is not the topic that we should be discussing. We should be discussing our mindsets that lead to suicide. We should be discussing our feelings and emotions and what they do to us if they're left uncontrolled. We should be discussing what happens when we live absent of hope. We should be discussing, hey, you don't have to threaten to kill yourself to get attention. We should be discussing that you don't have to harm yourself to feel something. We need to be discussing and calling what it is. There is an all-out spiritual war for the minds of those created in God's image, because the enemy knows what those people are capable of. And so therefore, we need to stand having our loins girt, truth as our feet, hey, our shield being faith, our helmet that protects our mind is confidence that if he can save me and rescue me from hell, he can get me through hell on earth too. And then we need a war, taking a sword and saying, here we come. Here we come. And he says, hey, once we learn how to obey it, everything that's written in it. By the way, time out, Paul's commercial. Christianity needs to stop being biased to what parts of the Bible it believes. Just because your family member now believes that something that God said was wrong is right, doesn't mean that you should attack those that are still standing with God. Be down on those that are still standing on the side. Somebody needs to be real in love with the damage that's being done by people who are forsaking God's word in their lives. And in here it says, once you start obeying everything written in it, only then, did you circle those two words? Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Verse number 9, we're out. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Church, strength doesn't mean you've got the muscle. Strength means you're refusing to quit. Strength means you're refusing to give in. You're refusing to respond to what the enemy's trying to get you to do. Strength is not the know-it-all. Strength is realizing you don't know it all, but you're going to stand in the truth that is the know of all things. And you're going to stand on God's word and let it build your life. Courage is not the absence of your fear. Courage is being scared to death and knowing something has to be done. Courage says, I don't want to have this conversation, but I'm going to have it anyway. Courage, and I'm going to tell you now, courage realizes that when you're not
not in a mental state you need to be that you should seek help. And for those of you that think it's bad to seek help, I myself am right now seeking a spiritual counselor that I can go to seek help in my mental board that I am battling. That is not easy to stand in front of an audience and a crowd and say, but I'm going to tell you this now, I am not good enough to stand on my own. I need some man and woman of God to stand with me and guide me in areas that I struggle. And some of you are struggling and pride has become your worst enemy. You're scared to death that somebody might find out that you struggle spiritually too, that you struggle mentally too, and they're going to judge, but thank God they are not the judge that you will stand before at the end of time. They are not the one that is after your heart. Be courageous. At some point, you've got to come to a courage that says, I can't do anything, but I will do everything. Because I can't do all things through Christ, who gives me strength. He says, support me.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't be discouraged.
Your holy name.
You say, how did I turn my mind off? The question I've been asking for 2 months, and finally got the answer. Don't! Don't do it! Focus it, protect it, guard it, nurture it, and watch God do something through it.
Amen.
We live in a world that's absent of thought, that lets everything else do the thinking for them. We need, and God has made you to be a thinker and a doer, not a blind sheep following what everybody is telling you to do, but a shepherd. You were not made to be a part of a flock that is dumb. You were made to be a lead. You were made to be a warrior. You were made to be a conqueror. And in Jesus' name, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, because God is with you. He's going to go everywhere you go.
Amen.
And the battle you're facing, He is in the mood. And the storm you're going through, He is right beside you. And at some point, you've got to realize you ain't messed up because your mind won't stop. God has given you a mind that won't stop, because He's trusting that through the Holy Spirit, you won't stop either. Well, praise Him till the end of time. Serve Him with our dying breath. Love Him with everything that's in us. As if God be for us, who can be against us? Head bowed, eyes closed.
Thank you, Lord.
In the quiet and stillness, and we'll sing a song in a second, but in the silence of this moment, is there anybody else with me? Like me? Just needs Him to be more of the focus of my mind. Him to be the truth that I'm believing. Him to be the voice of which I'm listening to. And so, for my entire life, as I have tried to rid myself of this overthinking, analytical mind, for the first time in my life, I want to embrace it in God's way, in God's design. Instead of saying, don't let me think, my prayer is not anything more like you think. Help me to believe more in who you are. Whether you're at home or sitting in this auditorium, is there anybody willing to admit, I too have mental health issues? I too have sin problems. I too struggle. But I will not glorify my struggle, and I will not glorify my weakness, but instead, in my weakness, I will make Him known. May Christ be the glory of the struggles of my life. May He get the testimony of the overcomings of my life. May He be the one that people see through these trials and tribulations. And is there anyone else in the place that in this moment finally is finding relief as Jesus is calling and saying, you are not messed up for thinking the way you think. You're just messed up by the things you are thinking about. So shift your mind. Is there anybody here to say, okay, God, all to Jesus, I surrender. So I'm going to ask you to stand and worship. In that home, I'm going to challenge you to maybe turn on some praise and worship in your living room. Go to your God song. Not the song that's about God, but mostly about you. The God song that brings you into a mindset of His goodness. And I'm going to ask right now in this auditorium and in your home, would you just stand to your feet wherever you are? And would you just allow the goodness of God to become the focus of your life? Would you just allow the praises of God to become the melody of your heart? And in this moment, instead of focusing on where your mind has been, let's focus on what God has taken us. What God has done for us, what God has already provided. And then, in the areas of our lives that still have needs, let's stop looking for a sign and let's grab the verse that proves that God is going to come through. Matter of fact, He's already working for you. He's already doing what you don't know needs to be done. And so in this moment, you just get caught up in His presence. You just get caught up in who He is. Let's make Jesus the end of everything. Say goodbye to online. Let's join up.